Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us, and I hope you've had a good 4th of July. This show is airing right after the 4th of July, so keep on celebrating. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
And Glenn Fink.
And by the way, I mentioned 4th of July. What I really should have said is Independence Day is really what it was, and we saw the meme of who is it, the meme of, is that due tomorrow?
Jefferson on July 4th.
Jefferson on July 3rd.
1776.
Okay, Mary, where are we going?
Well, we're going to talk about July 4th. We're also going to talk about some things recently that have happened in North Carolina with pro-Palestinian protesters and the North Carolina Board of Elections. We are going to talk about, should women be drafted? We'll talk about the debate. And locally, we're going to talk about our Senator Jim Perry, who has resigned. But we're going to start out with July 4th, which is the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, 1776. And I want to mention that the Revolutionary War went from April 1775 to September of 1783. So when they declared the Declaration of Independence, they were fighting for that independence. They hadn't won. The Constitutional Convention didn't happen until 1787. So as much as we celebrate the Declaration of Independence, it was the beginning of a long, hard slog where people paid a tremendously heavy price for the freedoms that we have today.
You mean the freedom to grill hot dogs?
That is a freedom.
Yes, it is.
And watch NASCAR racing, yes, of course.
And get caught in beach traffic.
And get caught in beach traffic, yes.
But I think we need to recognize that day. I think we have lost a lot of our history. And I know in New Bern on July 4th, and I realize this is broadcasting after July 4th, if you go downtown by City Hall, you will find a man dressed in Revolutionary War attire reading the Declaration of Independence.
Are you talking about Mike Speciale?
Yes, he does that every year in miserable heat in that horribly warm costume and reminds us of our roots. And as you're grilling hot dogs and drinking beer on July 4th.
And we've had other friends, by the way, that have dressed up as Uncle Sam.
Yes, that was one year.
And led kids parades.
Led a kids parade. But let's remember where we started and how hard the freedoms that we take for granted were fought for. And from there, we're going to Asheville with Pat.
In Asheville, masked activists violently attacked Jews at North Carolina Public Library. They were having a pro-Palestinian meeting in the library, pro-Hamas, and there were three Jews in there. One was an 80-year-old man who had cancer, and the three Jews were live-streaming the event, and eventually somebody in there realized they were Jews. And they confronted them in the building, and then they eventually drugged them outside the building and beat the heck out of them. It stole their phones. One was found in a trash can. One was found in somebody's yard. While they were live streaming it, the somebody that was watching the live stream called the police, who came. Nobody at the library called the police.
None of the library employees.
No, nobody at the library called the police. And they knew what was happening because they came to the door, saw what was going on, and then closed the door and left.
Wow.
I know Asheville's kind of, but this is extreme even for them.
Well, it's extreme that you have employees of, a quasi-government operation, the library. I know I think it's funded by some grants or whatever else, but employees of that would be willing to just stand by and do nothing. I mean, that's, silly as it sounds, if we go back to, was it Uvalde, Texas, whatever, where the police chief decided just to stand by while somebody shot up their school.
Yeah.
We cannot accept that from public employees.
He and that's
was
coming,
fired, wasn't he?
He was fired.
And he's been indicted for those actions recently, very recently. I guess the thing about the public library situation, I feel very confident they end up reporting to local government. Our library is handled by either the county or the city. So it's under a woke government system there if it's a local government.
The other thing, too.
And they should take, Asheville should take action.
Yes.
The other thing, too, to remember, you can be pro-Palestine and you can be pro-Hamas, but you need to remember that the Hamas charter still calls for the killing of all Jews. And is that really where you want to be? I mean, the children that grow up in Palestine or in Gaza, first of all, the Jews have not ruled Gaza since 2007. It's been independent, ruled. They had elections. They elected someone from the Palestinian Authority for something like a four-year term, and he's been there 8 years because he suspended elections. But children from kindergarten on are taught to be martyrs and to kill Jews. And unfortunately, some of that has bled into America, into these pro-Palestinian protests. And we need to stop and think where that's going. Anti-Semitism never ends well. And if we don't stand up to it, we will find ourselves going down a road we don't want to go down.
And who's pushing us down that road? The Democrats. That's where the left comes from.
Yes. And in Chicago,
what road are they pushing us down? Are they pushing us down the road of lack of civility?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's one road.
Yeah.
In Chicago, 80 protesters took over the Art Institute of Chicago. And they showed up for their trials on Tuesday. That's July 2nd. And all their charges were dropped. They just walked out free of all charges. And there was an organization behind them that encouraged the city to do that. There is one alderman in Chicago that has some amount of common sense, and he pointed out there was no question that crimes were committed during this illegal encampment. There was criminal trespassing. There was refusal to disperse and follow lawful orders. There was vandalism. There was assault. And several police officers were attacked. And he made the comment, if the Democrats are going to have their convention in Chicago this summer, they're having it in August, and Chicago gets in the habit of not doing anything about violent protests, the Democrats are going to have a rough time. And the other part of that, I would like to compare the sentence, the fact that these guys walked free, with the people from January 6th that are still in jail who did less.
I think the point about are they supporting lack of civility, based on everything I understand, this is about voting blocks. I don't think it's about a particular position on the true issue, although, you know, to say that's terrible, but this is about trying to keep voters in Michigan and other areas in the Democrat column so that they can win the election. That's the primary impetus, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's identity politics.
Well, which is what we've been subject to since Obama. Pat, you had another North Carolina
article? Well, we've also
been,
we've not just identity politics, but we've been subject to division, creating division, even amongst folks that have like thought processes.
Okay, Pat, you had another North Carolina article?
Well, the North Carolina Election Board is barring or attempting to bar RFK Jr. and Cornel West from the ballot. And they're going to re-vote on that sometime in the next 30 days. But in the meantime, an election integrity group called, let's see what they're called, the Fair Election Fund was founded in May to target abuses of the election system, is planning to allocate a portion of its $5 million whistleblower protection program to investigate the board's decision. And also, the feds say they've launched an investigation of the North Carolina Election Board.
Well, you know, I was going to say, historically, that the election board, the state election board, does not have a good stable track record, especially if you go back to the COVID days when they changed all of the rules for absentee and mail-in ballots, and everything got changed in a whim. And we know, dealing with some of the local directors of boards, that they were just as frustrated as you could possibly be, because they had no idea what the rules would be come tomorrow morning.
Because of the governor's mansion, it's controlled by the left, and so they've got an agenda.
It's interesting that they want RFK Jr. and Cornel West off the ballot, because they are most likely to take votes away from President Biden.
Right.
And there is an effort right now with out-of-state money to turn North Carolina purple and to get Democrats back in power. I don't see the state going for Biden, but the state would be more likely to go for Biden if you took RFK Jr. and Cornel West off the ballot, because they will cut into Biden more than they will cut. Well, anybody who reads what RFK Jr. stands for, and again, conservatives may agree with some of what he says about vaccines, particularly the COVID vaccine, but when you start reading the other things he supports, there's no way a conservative can support
well,
him.
Right. Of course, you're dependent upon how people interpret what's called the public vote, as opposed to
the electoral college.
Electoral college. Well, thank you. I brain drain, folks.
But North Carolina is a state where all the electoral votes go to whoever wins, and again, I don't see Biden winning in North Carolina, but the Democrats will play any game they can, and they need to make him viable enough so if they cheat to get him across the finish line, the cheating is believable.
Well, one of the things, Kim showed me an article in one of the newspapers where like 35% of the election campaign money is out of state from Democrats,
yes,
and only about 5% or less is from Republicans.
Yes.
So they're trying to swing us.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. And again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Folks, I want to add one more thing to the Board of Election thing, and I'm going to localize it. And I know here in Craven County, a number of the individual municipalities have moved their election to the even number years, such as Havelock, Bridgeton, Riverbend, Trent Woods, Vanceboro.
I think maybe even some of the western, other than Vanceboro, like Cove City.
Yeah, and they moved them to the even years. Folks, go out and sign up for some of those boards, because the registration for those boards begins July 5th and ends July 19th. You have the opportunity to serve in your local government. Okay, that's my...
And that can't be emphasized enough, because when you think about it, who ends up beyond your local municipality to a countywide government or to a state general assembly? It comes from those boards. So that's the bench for bigger offices. It's important for your local on the spot, but it's also the bench growing for the higher position.
That's the Farm League.
Yep.
And Tip O'Neill, Speaker of the House from Massachusetts for a number of years, is quoted as having said, all politics is local.
Yes.
And who you have on your local boards is as important, in fact, it's more important to you than who you have in higher offices. Because we have seen instances where a local board made a decision that they did very quietly, and they had to re-vote on the decision, and a bunch of people showed up, and that decision was changed.
It was reversed.
You have a voice in your local government much more than you have a voice elsewhere. So serve if you can, but if you can't, pay attention and speak up when you need to.
Well, Mary, as you said, serve if you can. If not, find a neighbor. Drag them out, kicking and screaming, to go down and become a representative for your area. I want you to become a representative, or I want you to find somebody that can be qualified candidates to be involved in your local government.
And your board candidates need to be quick learners, but they don't have to come in knowing everything. They have to be prepared to land on their feet. They need a quick learning curve. But this is the beginning. This is the first step. You're not expected to come in and know everything, but you are expected to come in and be willing to learn.
And most of these boards are nonpartisan boards, so don't worry about being belong to a specific party or whatever else. They're termed as nonpartisan. Okay, where are we going next?
We're going to talk about, is this a poll, Pat?
It's a poll. Rasmussen surveyed 1,000 registered voters June 24th with a margin of error of plus or minus 3.1%. And turned out it's a 50-50 proposition, just about. 50% opposed the proposition. 9% were unsure. That leaves 41% on the other side.
Now, how was the proposition worded?
This is for
the one they're trying to put in the defense bill.
Defense bill.
And now exactly how did they? What was the question asked at the poll? That's what I'm going for.
Oh, it's not in the article.
But it is. But it's based on drafting women, I believe.
Yes, it's how many people support drafting, having women sign up for the draft and be drafted. That's what they were polling.
And again, signing up for the draft, all men have to do it. Now, there is not currently a draft going on, but all males have to sign up right now. So this would be something that says all females would likewise have to sign
all
up.
The, between certain ages, mm-hmm. right? they call this draft our daughters. And they've tried to include it in defense bills in the past, and it's been knocked out every time, and I think it'll get knocked out this time. About 50% of the men support it, not as many women. The Democrats don't support it, and Republicans do to a greater percentage.
Why, I wonder?
I do not know.
I mean, I'm sorry, I guess I'm just old-fashioned, but I don't think women should be drafted. I think they have a different role to play, and I think their role in case of war, to me, has more to do with doing things on the home front that need to be done to keep a stable, reasonable society going while the men are off to war. I mean, during World War II, we saw them in factories, but we also saw them growing gardens and taking care of their children and doing other things that men might not do.
Well, they manned the factories. Don't forget Rosie Riveter.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, women have a role to play in wartime, but I'm not sure it's in combat. And I know that we put women in combat because I know of women helicopter pilots in Iraq that were in combat. I know one that was killed. And I don't think women belong there. I think we're made differently. I think that's one of the places where differences matter.
Well, the problem is if you're in war against Muslims, when the women get captured, there was a helicopter pilot that got captured, and they're very careful not to speak of what happened to her while she was in custody. So I think we can all imagine what happened to her.
Yes.
This article points out somebody who's a critic of the proposition that we should draft women says the physiological differences between men and women, which have been confirmed in many scientific field tests, dictates that very few women would qualify for combat infantry positions. So if they were called up, they would jam up the selective service system. Well, you have to be careful with that argument because there are differences in the men. You made an argument the last time we were here that there were differences between the women. Mm-hmm. Just taking them all was not a good idea. Well, we're taking all the men, and they all have differences. So that's kind of a two-edged sword.
And by the way, knowing folks that have been taken, now maybe not drafted, but voluntarily, guess what? You're taken, you don't have good eyesight, you're not going to be a pilot. I mean, it sounds so cruel.
Or a sniper.
But it's realistic.
Thank goodness.
But I mean, I can look at my daughters. One of them was a shot putter in high school. I would put her up against any guy physically, you know, in terms of passing all the physical requirements and whatever. For whatever reason, she has a lot of upper body strength. She has a lot of muscle mass. She could do it. The younger one is 5 feet tall, weighs 100 pounds when she's eating well. You put a backpack on her and she just is going to sink down to the floor and not go anywhere. And I'm sure there are guys that are small, but yet their muscle mass would probably compensate for that, whereas a woman's would not.
Right. Well, do you ever watch, what's that show where they're always competing?
American Ninja or something?
Ninja Warrior.
Good.
I've been watching that for years, and I remember when the first women tried to compete with the guys with no upper body strength, and almost every single challenge is upper body strength.
Yeah.
And so the women didn't last very long. And I remember the little skinny woman that made the first, she made it all the way through and hit the buzzer. And that was a big deal. Well, since then, a lot of women have been training. And so there's a whole lot of women that are competing now, and some that get through the first phase, and then they drop out about midway through the second phase. But they can develop upper body strength,
yes,
but it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm. And it's not as natural.
No.
It's not inherent as it is in a guy. Okay. Some of us watched the debate last week.
You even watched it with a bingo card.
I did. I watched it with a bingo card.
Now, what's a bingo card? The bingo card is phrases that they had expected to hear in the debate. And, of course, you get five in a row, and you get up and you yell out the bingo words or whatever else. But the phrases that we normally hear, whether it's out of the president or whether it's out of the former president or whether it's out of the news media, the moderators that are going to choose specific words at specific time. But folks, when you hear a speech like that, you're going to hear those bingo words.
Mm. Well, the thing that got me about the debate, of course, when Joe Biden went to Waffle House afterwards, and Jill, of course, being the cheerleader, and all the accusations of President Trump being a liar, but nobody points to any lie that he told. They're just calling him a liar. And some of the whoppers that President Biden told during that debate were unbelievable. The claim that inflation was at 9% when he took office, it was at 1.9%. And some of the other claims that if Trump gets in office, our taxes are going to go up and we're going to not have Medicaid and or Medicare and Social Security, that is simply garbage.
Well, one of the worst one was no one of our service people died on his watch.
Oh, that was awful.
Which was the worst of the lies.
Yes, that was just awful. We'll be back in a moment with more on the debate.
Okay, folks, again, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is a CCTA Wake Up Call show.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Again, Mary?
There were a lot of lies told by President Biden, unfortunately, during the debate, and none of them were questioned at that time. You can find a list online at various places if you want to go find it. But I want to talk about how President Biden looked during that debate, what his appearance looked like. There were a couple of times when he kind of wandered off verbally and the debaters just stopped him and went over to President Trump. And he just looked like mentally he was not there. It was scary. And of course, the debate now is whether or not he will be the candidate. I'm hearing all kinds of different views. What do you guys have to say?
Well, I mean, what was just as interesting as when he was talking as when he wasn't talking, because I think he was unaware somehow that he's still on camera, and he did look like he was completely out of it at times.
You know, one of the things that we've got to bring up also is we all thought that the two moderators were going to be merciless on Trump, and I think they were very fair in the way that they presented it as best as they could. And I know there were times when they, I'm going to say, coached to get Biden to respond to something or did some major coaching. But I think that in all, they were pretty darn fair in the way that they presented it. Now, again, as you just mentioned, both faces were on screen most of the time. Mm-hmm. And that was going back to the Nixon-Kennedy debate.
Yes.
Where if you heard the Nixon-Kennedy debate on radio, Nixon won. If you saw it on TV, Kennedy won.
Yeah.
Because Nixon had sweat on his upper lip.
And the other part of this, which to me is as frightening as anything else, the debate was on Thursday night. On Saturday, there was a private fundraiser in New Jersey hosted by the New Jersey governor, Phil Murphy, where Biden admitted that his debate performance was not up to par, and he vowed to fight back and, again, complained about President Trump's lies. But he made the comment that the debate caused people to come over and vote for him rather than Trump. And I just, you know, this man needs a reality check.
Well, when you say this man needs a reality check, his handlers need a reality check, because right now I don't think he is making all of his own decisions or hearing all of his own.
Well, this was his
press
comment. Research during the debate shows us converting more undecided voters than Trump did, in large part because of his conduct on January 6th. People remember the bad things during his presidency. Well, maybe I missed something, but I remember some very good things during his presidency. I remember cheap groceries. I remember low interest rates. I remember no wars. I remember
cheap gas.
I remember feeling that our borders were secure and terrorists were not streaming into our country.
And foreign countries were respecting us.
Yes, and I remember NATO actually paying its share of dues. And I remember Trump withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord, which put restrictions on the United States and no restrictions on China and India, who are the biggest polluters. And I don't remember Trump demanding that we buy electric vehicles or stopping our domestic oil production, which raised the price of gasoline. And actually, what happened when Biden stopped our domestic oil production is that Russia and Iran had enough money again because the price went up and they could again fund their wars. So I don't think that the bad things happened during Trump. I think the bad things are happening during Biden. But that's just my opinion.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, the idea that it really wasn't Biden as much as his handlers, I'll take it a step further. It's the media, which are quasi-handlers, mm-hmm. because they didn't have any choice but to recognize how he's failed. And the fact that they've been covering for him for, what,
3 years.
Mm-hmm. And they know they've been covering for him. That was a pivot that they, it's very obvious that they've been enablers to right. getting to this place.
Well, I read an interesting article today that said, talking about he needs a reality check, that behind the scenes, Mr. Biden is not a kind little old man, that he screams obscenities. He screams at his staff that they curate, was the word they use, they curate the briefings he gets by saying, don't put that in, it'll make him mad. Put that in, he'll like that. That he's surrounded with a staff that's been with him for 40 years who have insulated him to the point where, you know, if they're taking out the uncomfortable stuff and the not so good to hear stuff, you can't make good decisions if you don't have the facts.
But are they there? Is that staff there to protect themselves from his wrath? Yes. They're not there to give him the proper information.
Well, the article distinguished between the low-level staff members that go in there to do briefings. Those are the ones he's screaming obscenities at. He's not screaming at the guys that have been with him for 40 years. They're the ones that are coddling him.
Well, do they have any better control of their facilities? They've been with him as long as he's been around. I'd hate to be relying on them for my input.
Well, there's also the thing to remember, too. Biden is not the problem. The policies that he has instituted are Democrat policies. The policies that have hurt us in terms of oil production, inflation, interest, and everything else are Democrat policies. If you put someone else on the ticket, whatever, you're still going to get the same policies. If you elect a Democrat Congress, you're going to get the same policies. If you want change, then you have to be willing to elect change. And that's not necessarily a Democrat-Republican thing, because some Republicans are as bad as the Democrats. So you really have to look at your candidates and see what they have voted for in the past and see if that's what you want to support. We're not going to get out of this mess if we keep doing the same thing.
Well, his capability being shown now proves that he hasn't been running the place for years, we said earlier. Somebody
true.
Else is behind the curtain. He's just a
And we
face.
Can all make our guesses as to who that is.
Yes.
Did you notice his face when he showed up at the day after the debate? He's been bronzed.
Yes.
He looks orange, and Orange Man bad. We've all heard that. Now he's oranger than Trump, because Trump's orange is wearing off.
Oh, that's good.
By the way, my comment during the debate itself was, I noticed that he never blinked. In the debate, he never blinked.
Which is really weird.
That is weird.
The other thing, when the national feed cut as soon as Trump walked off the stage, what you didn't see, which showed up on YouTube, was Jill helping Biden off the stage and down the stairs as if you would help a young child or a very old person.
And it was only one step.
I know.
Yeah, I saw a picture of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was sad. It really was. It was the way you would help a young child navigate stairs.
Now, I know that there's a second debate scheduled I guess, after the
quote, yeah, for September.
After the quote nomination or whatever else. And we've heard that they're talking about doing a virtual nomination before the Democrat convention.
Well, they have to, because otherwise he's not on the ballot
Ohio, because
of some of the restrictions.
So the virtual nomination, and whether he would actually go to the convention itself or not.
And there's also an interview with George Stephanopoulos, which was supposed to be, originally it was said it was going to be a live interview. Now it's going to be a taped interview. And my advice to anyone who chooses to watch it is look for the splices. Look for the places where they've cut it and spliced. Because either he mentally wandered off, he looked like he wasn't really there, whatever. There were obvious signs of dementia at the debate.
On view in public.
Anyone who's had a person in the family with dementia recognizes what's going on. And I mean, there was somebody on my Facebook post today talking about how wonderful Biden is and all the wonderful things he's done as president. So there are going to be people who support him despite the way he looks. And those of us who support other people are going to have to work as if we're not running against a candidate who's not really there.
Now, although it's still only a rumor, I guess 25 Democrats have decided that they need to sit down and do the real talk-to-talk with...
Before I left today, I read an article. It was on Citizens Free Press.
Mm-hmm.
It said Biden admitted to somebody that he may not be the candidate.
Well,
he's may not have what it takes.
And what's her name? Press Secretary. She has... denied that.
And it's the other thing that has come out that concerns me in recent days is that Hunter Biden is sitting in on all the White House meetings. Where's his security clearance?
And he and Jill are the ones that are pushing him the hardest to stay in from everything
here.
Because they need protection.
They do.
I mean, Jill
Hunter
needs protection for
Hunter.
Hunter
needs a pardon.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, Hunter, under normal circumstances, would not get a security clearance as for being a drug addict. That wouldn't happen.
Nor would it, was it Rudy Giuliani, who just had his law license revoked in New York State, and because he's the felon? Well, folks, felons are felons. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. We'll be right back. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 east of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Folks, I ask you to join us July 16th, 7 p.m., Stanley Hall Ballroom, upstairs, 249 Craven Street in New Bern. Our guest speaker is going to be Pastor Damon, and he is going to be talking about the Frederick Douglass Foundation. He is the coordinator, the liaison for the foundation. Again, join us July 16th, 7 p.m., Stanley Hall Ballroom, upstairs. There is free parking behind the City Hall after 5 p.m. Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you have take us in another
day. Yeah, I wanted to talk just briefly about the immunity decision that just came out of the Supreme Court, that the Dems and the president are all going apoplectic over. And Sonia Sotomayor, one of the justices, she calls herself the wise Latina, in her dissent. The vote was 6-3, so the six conservatives all voted for immunity, and the three women voted against it. And Sotomayor said in her dissent that the president now will be able to do whatever he wants to without any criminal, any deference to the criminal law. If he wants to send SEAL 6 to assassinate his political opponent, he's immune. If he wants to take a bribe, he's immune. And she just made herself look ridiculous. But those arguments are now being spouted by Joy Reid, MSNBC, Rachel Maddow.
As if they're credible. Yeah.
As if, you know, that's what the decision says. That is not what it says. It divides immunity into three categories, and they're very commonsensical. If the president is doing his core constitutional duties, he is immune. If he is doing what's in the outer perimeter of his constitutional duties, then there is a presumption of immunity. And if he is doing unofficial acts, there's no immunity. So if you look at the January 6th they're trying to prosecute him for, the conversations that he had with the DOJ and his attorney general, he's immune. Those are core constitutional acts.
His advising Nancy Pelosi about the need of troops would be a core act, I believe, right?
I think so, too. In a presumption of immunity is the second category, and let me explain that a little bit. When there's a presumption, it's usually in favor of the defendant, and the state then has to rebut it. They have to produce evidence to rebut the presumption. So let me give an example of a presumption. You get stopped for DWI, and you fail the sobriety test. You go to court. There's a presumption created that you were, in fact, drunk while you were driving. So it's up to the defendant to rebut the presumption that he wasn't driving drunk, that he didn't blow 0.10 in the machine, you know, that he didn't fail the sobriety test. When you go searching, let's say you have a search at somebody's home for drugs, and you have a warrant. The presumption is that the warrant is
for a specific purpose
is deficient. Mm-hmm. So the state goes first to because of the Fourth Amendment that you have the right to be free from all unreasonable searches and seizures. Even though you have a warrant, it's presumed to be unreasonable. So now the state has to rebut the presumption that they did something wrong. Okay, so that's how presumptions work. So in the second category, he has a presumption of immunity, and this is going to affect the New York case because they used people that had been in his administration to testify against him. Supreme Court also said that they can't, the courts cannot consider his motives. So there was testimony in the New York case about his motives. They also had people like Hope Hicks that worked for him there to testify against him. In a just world, after that opinion, that would be thrown out. And the trial, the verdict would be set aside because there's no way you can take that out. The jury's already heard it. So you would have to replace this, you know, with a new trial. Mershan's not going to do that. He's going to rule against him that, you know, he didn't have any immunity, presumptive or not, and go right to sentencing. But in the D.C. Circuit case, the Supreme Court also did an opinion that said that the statute that they used to snare a bunch of J6ers about obstructing evidence, which was left over from Enron, they clarified that that has to do with documents, not with walking through the Capitol. So any J6er that was pled guilty or convicted on that particular statute will be free to go. They used that same statute for two of the indictments on the D.C. case, so those are gone. The Supreme Court sent that case back to Judge Chutkan, whatever her name is, to make factual determinations. She was in such a hurry to get that case to trial along with Jack Smith that she didn't do an analysis. She didn't do any fact-specific analysis. And so the Supreme Court took a swipe at her and said, because the lower courts didn't do any fact analysis, it's going to have to go back down to the court, and they're going to have to decide what was an official act and what was an unofficial act. And then it'll go on appeal. If she finds that it's unofficial and he has no immunity, it'll go back up on appeal again. But this nonsense that the immunity means that he can assassinate his political opponents, I've read four articles now in the last day or two of people calling for Biden to assassinate Trump.
Yeah.
And the left always tells us that language is violence.
Yeah.
I have a question. With this decision that gives immunity for official acts, but my understanding from what you said is not for unofficial acts. Let's go back to Obama and his wiretapping of the Trump administration. Would that have been an official act?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think
as
the head of the executive branch, because they in the article or in the decision, they made a distinction on national security issues, that's okay. A core constitutional duty of the president.
So despite the fact that it was based on something false, it was considered national security.
5 minutes. I think there's a good chance that he was considered immune for that. The unofficial acts may include when he talked to Georgia about finding him votes, talked to election officials, that may be considered unofficial acts, although you could make an argument that it was in the outer perimeter of his constitutional duties because it's his job to see that the federal election is run
fair and square.
Fair and square. Mm-hmm. So Supreme Court made recognition of that by sending it down to the lower court. You decide what's official and what's unofficial, and then we'll review your work and decide whether or not he gets immunity or not.
It's interesting that the left is screaming that Trump was going to be a dictator when Biden is the one that, after he was told that what he was trying to do with student loans was illegal, did it anyway, and Biden has put his political opponents in jail, which again is an act of a dictator. There's a lot of projection going on here. And we need to move along because there's a letter we need to talk about.
Folks, there was a letter that we received a couple of weeks ago. We made an appeal to folks. Tell us what we ought to be talking about. And we did receive a letter from Craig. Thank you for writing to us. And thank you for, first off, typing it up so we can read it. But thank you for your opinion on a number of subjects. I know in their observations where you said a Republican president failed to stop deficit spending 28 times, six times where he had the majority in both the House and Senate, eight times where he had a majority in the House of Representatives alone. And we know that the House of Representatives is supposed to come up with the budget. Okay. Now we do. I know that we can go a lot of different directions with this. By the way, thank you because you also want us to go into constitutional education. What we see, I think, and we're probably going to go back into this in another couple of weeks. But I know what we see is the renegades are both parties. We're not going to say that it's not the Republicans, but the renegades are in spending. We have up the income has been consistently growing, but our spending has been growing much faster.
Under Trump, revenues increased dramatically, but so did spending, so it was useless. And he does mention he wants topics for education. Probably toward the end of August, we'll be doing a couple of more courses that people can sign up for at mary@cctaxpayers.com. And we've done some Hillsdale courses in the past. We're looking at one on American foreign policy and one on economic principles, including the Laffer curve, supply-side economics. And you'll hear more about that in the coming weeks, but those will be starting off towards the end of the summer or the beginning of the fall. So we'll try to remember to announce them on the air. They are open to the public, details to follow. Location depends on how many people sign up.
I have to jump in with your Laffer comment. He's on TV a lot, and he's 83, and he's 3 years older than President Biden. And
the difference
you
is
cannot,
obvious.
You cannot call a more stark difference than
Who are you
between
talking
them.
About?
Arthur
Laffer.
Oh, okay.
He is amazing. This theory goes back to the days of Ronald Reagan. And it is proven that every time taxes go down, revenues go up.
And the other thing that you shared there a little bit earlier was related to the spending under Trump. And let's remember, we had COVID, no excuse, you know, complete excuse. But that was a time that was just unmatched.
And that was the time when he followed the advice of his advisors, and his advisors didn't necessarily have his best interests at heart.
Okay, we have just less than a minute. We're going to switch topics. Senator Perry has resigned. Our senator for Craven, for
Lenoir
and Beaufort counties, has resigned his position in the state Senate. And possibly we will, they'll be able to appoint someone else to do that.
And the governor has to appoint someone from the same party.
And the three executive committees of those counties will vote and propose an appointment for Governor Cooper. And it does have to be a Republican. And the person that won the primary, Bob Brinson,
Is
most likely, and I sure hope that that happens.
Okay, folks, thank you. This is the, we're going to wrap up this show. And again, thank you for participating and listening to the show. We're next week, we're going to do a special show on the Frederick Douglass. Pastor Damon is going to be coming and speaking about that. So it's a special show about Frederick Douglass. Again, this is a CCTA Wake Up Call show. Thank you for listening.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.